So this week has been a week of remembrances, as we talked about seeing the students. It's also, this past Monday, we remembered the significance of those who have given their lives so that we can worship today, so that we can do this freely. And Martha and I had the privilege of being at an Atlanta Braves game this past Monday on Memorial Day and with some friends, and we got there early enough to catch the pregame events, and boy, I'm seeing it in my mind's eye now, and I'm getting a lump in my throat. I mean, all the branches of the military were honored. And then at the end of their time, they had a bugler stationed at home plate and a bugler stationed in center field facing each other, and they did taps in an echo fashion. And that's the first time I'd heard that in a long time. And so there were 30,000 people deathly quiet listening to this take place. And whew, man, where we were kind of in the middle, so I could hear both of these buglers playing taps and just what it meant. And then the names of people who came through my mind who've served in the military. And even last week, I'll tell you a little bit more about our event that we took place last Saturday, in Pickens, South Carolina. But one of the things we did, we stopped by a cemetery in Griffin Baptist Church in Pickens, South Carolina, to see Martha's grandparents' burial site, and off to the side, some of her extended family, one extended family that died in the Korean War, another extended family that died in Vietnam, and their tombs are right there in Pickens. So to stand and to express gratefulness and thank you, God, for the sacrifice that Martha's family members gave to us. And so that was a tremendously moving experience last weekend for us to remember and be grateful for the freedom that we have because of those who have fought and died. As I mentioned last weekend, we also had the opportunity to go to a family function. We went to Greenville, South Carolina. Martha's folks, her family, extended family, lives there, and we went up there last weekend. And last Saturday, we actually were able to participate in a family reunion of sorts. This family had done many reunions over the years, and they kind of died out. And as extended family started moving away, and several of Martha's cousins decided, let's reinvigorate this. So last year, we had our first one in a number of years, and this year was pretty special because we actually went to one of Martha's aunt's house, Aunt Lunell, Pickens, South Carolina. Can it get more southern? Let me get an amen on that. No. Yeah, no. In the South, Larry can do his yo all the time, but when I'm here, it's an amen in the South, okay? The northern folk do yo. We'll tolerate him. We'll abide him. That's good, you know? We'll bless him, make him feel good, so you yo all you want. But today, we're talking in the South, okay? Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Pickens, South Carolina. It's about 30 miles from Greenville. We looked at the map today. It's about 30 miles northwest of Greenville. And we went out there to Aunt Lunell's house and ate Southern. I mean, cream corn, cornbread, fried chicken, ham, peach cobbler. It was Southern to the core. And I sinned greatly. I'm sorry. It was an awesome meal together. And sitting and talking with some of Martha's cousins who live up in that area who are following Christ, one in particular who we had connected last year. We were able to connect again this year and just had a wonderful time talking about what God's doing in his life and his workplace and sharing with a dear friend of his who is Muslim, and they get to talking about, you know, their thing and just the conversations they have. And he looked at me with a wink and said, I'm going to get him. And that's a good thing. Douglas is a really neat guy. Well, it all revolves around Martha's grandparents, Bill and Bertie Neely, who lived, worked, and died in the Pickens, South Carolina area, and I don't think they wandered too far from there their whole life. They lived into their 90s, and it was my privilege to know Mr. Bill really well, and I appreciated that. Martha's mother has four siblings, two sisters and two brothers, and we found ourselves at the end of the afternoon, after all, everybody had stuffed themselves to sin. Yes, I confess. We were sitting around the sunroom. It just kind of organically happened, and as we sat and talked a little bit, I'm not sure what lit the fuse, but stories started flowing as it would happen at family reunions, and each of the siblings, Martha's mother and her sisters and brothers, started throwing each other under the bus with the stories that they would tell of growing up. One that really struck me that I thought was funny is about Martha's uncle Carl. He was the youngest of five. And having known him all these years, I could believe this story to be very true. It seemed that when in their young, growing up days, in fact, we actually drove by the original house where the Neelys lived, which is about 3 or 4 miles away from the house that I knew when we would go up when Martha and I first got married, 1, 2, 3 whole long time ago. And we would have the family gatherings there. But we went to the original house, and the original house was up on cinder blocks. For those of you under 40, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Some of you remember some of these country houses were not on foundations. They were on cinder blocks, and so there was crawl space underneath. It seems that one day Carl got under the skin of his mama, and she started to get after him back when it was okay to use a switch or whatever. We don't talk about that these days. That's, you know, gets people in trouble. But some of you guys will remember those days, okay? And Carl just took off, and he knew he was spry enough, so he ran outside, shimmied under the house. Miss Birdie came out, and she couldn't crawl under there. But she told Carl, in voice loud enough to be serious, that Mr. Bill was coming home soon, and he'd tend to it. Well, Carl, I think, was probably pondering his future, if there was going to be one, and about a half hour later, Mr. Bill came home from a hard work and went in the house. And after about a couple minutes, came back out and started to shimmy under the house. Carl, thinking very quickly, said, "What did you do to make Mama mad?" Some of those stories told were hard to believe, and some were so incredible they just had to be believed. There was a lot of good stuff talked about related to the legacy of two people. Two simple people, two country people. I can remember sitting and talking with Mr. Bill as we had occasion on the front porch of their house to talk about his love for Jesus. And he wanted to talk about the Bible. And I look back on those with fond memories. I'd been thinking before we left that I'd like to talk about my life verse. When things get fuzzy and when things get challenging and my mind starts to scramble, God has always challenged me to look back at my life verse, which is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And it goes like this. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, and especially the sin that so easily trips us up." Larry and I were talking about this in the old King James, "that doth so easily beset us." I love that phrasing. "And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated on the place of honor beside God's throne." A couple phrases that God really challenged me, and I'm just going to let you in on some of what I've been meditating and thinking about in the last couple weeks. And that phrase there, that huge crowd of witnesses. That's always fascinated me, and I say fascinated. I've had a singular perspective on that huge crowd of witnesses and what that means. Now, some of you will recognize in the old King James, the first word in chapter 12 is therefore, which is a word that points you back to what you've been reading before. And what you've been reading before in Hebrews 11 has often been called the roll call of faith. And I've often read that chapter, and I will confess most of the time when I read it, to me, it's like a history book. It's an event thing that took place, and it's a summary of the things that took place in the Old Testament. And so I've read it that way. But after last weekend, I'm looking at chapter 11 a little differently now. As Christians, these are the folks that we follow after. This is our family tree. If you think about it, in Hebrews 11, it's our family tree. Hey, do you remember when Noah started building that boat? Do you remember when Abraham just got up and started walking like Forrest Gump? He had no idea where he was going. He just knew he needed to go. Do you remember when the time that Sarah had a baby? Boy, that started the lips wagging. Do you remember that? And how about the time Moses' mother hit him in the bush down by the river? And do you remember your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather's family, along with their bunch of their kinfolk, walked right through the middle of the Red Sea and didn't get their feet wet? You see, we had some family members who stood tall and endured much in tough times, and they remained faithful to the one who made them. It didn't end well with some of them. It didn't end well with some of them, but they persevered, and they got a great reward for their perseverance. If you read the end of chapter 11, it stirs me to recognize that people were sawed in half, were executed because of their love for God. I want to put a picture up here. A handful of people in this room know who these people are. This is the original group that provides our legacy as a church. This is a picture of the Bible study group that became Trinity Evangelical Free Church of Tampa, Inc. Later on, a number of years later, we became Oakwood Church. These folks prayed and worked and prayed some more for God to do a work in them that would impact many for Christ. The date on that picture is March 27, 1983. We met at Plant High School for 6 years. We had church in a box every Sunday. Some of you, a handful of you, will remember the trolleys that we pushed around that some of the guys built for us and move into the rooms every Sunday for our kids' ministry. We still have one of those trolleys on campus that was known as the Widowmaker. This was the heaviest thing. It took three of us to push this every Sunday to get it from the closet. Guy, you remember. To get it from the closet down the hall and plant to a classroom where our kids could you know, open up the flannel graph on both sides, all the supplies and everything like that. We met in the lunchroom. Our worship was in the lunchroom at Plant, so everything was mobile. Every one of those folks looked to invite someone to church. These are the folks who dream big so that we could do all the things we have done to impact the world for God's glory out of this group of people. It's a good thing to be reminded from time to time of those who have impacted you, me and us. The Apostle Paul reminded Timothy of that in his second letter. In 2 Timothy 1, he reminds Timothy that, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. I bet each one of us have someone in our life that we can think back and remember today that has had an impact to cause you even to be sitting here today, to be here to worship God. Someone spoke into your life something that caused you to want to make a change, that challenged you to do something or be better in some way. I know I've got someone that lost contact with for a number of years that I've been able to get back reconnected with who has had impact. His name is Sam. And Sam, he's been a big brother to me for as long as Martha and I have been married and even before. So you can know that's a long time. If you have someone like that, I would encourage you, and if they're still alive, I would encourage you to consider calling or sending a note to them, thanking them for their example and encouragement. And then thank God audibly for them. Pray and thank God for them. Remember where you came from. Yeah. And then the second thing I've been pondering, and it's, excuse me, it's easy for you to look and see on the surface what that means, is deal with your weight issue. Thank you for not snickering. It talks about in verse 2, in verse 1, I guess, strip off every weight that slows us down. Now, what is this weight? What is this weight that the writer is talking about that's distinguished from the sin that's mentioned in the next phrase? As I've thought about that in times past, the weight that I've thought about is the things that we accumulate that distract us. I mean, Martha and I were at Angola prison 3 weeks ago, and listening to guys talk about, they have no distractions. These guys do an 8-hour job in Angola, and then they go back to their bunk, their cell, and whatever. They talk about, we are free of distractions. In fact, one inmate looked at us and said, I don't know how you guys do it out there. Because you have so many things that get in your way. I mean, television, computers, you know, I mean, let's not even talk about the devices that you hold in your hand that people are walking around and they can't focus on anything else, you know? And all the other stuff, the entertainment venues that we have that distract us and can become weights in our lives. And I still contend that that's a lot of truth. But as I looked around the room last Saturday, I realized that many at this family reunion were carrying emotional weight. They'd experienced hard things. There was divorce. There was estrangement from brothers and sisters and children. There were evidence of bad decisions that were, you know, under their control and other circumstances beyond their control. And even in some, Martha and I talked about it, you could even see it in some of Martha's cousins, some of this emotional weight that they had been carrying. Here's that picture again of the original group. I very much appreciate everything that these folks did so that we could be where we are and do the things that we have done. You are here today because of the faithfulness and perseverance of that group right there. But I look at that group and I get a huge lump in my throat. And the reason I get a huge lump in my throat, because that picture represents there's at least two divorces and a third one that's currently underway. There's a suicide in that picture. Someone committed suicide. One of those kids up in that picture died in an automobile accident at 16 years of age. That's hard stuff. Some of it is just significant weight. There are a couple couples up there who had kids who have wrestled hard with drug issues even into adult age. That's a lot of emotional weight. That's a lot of stuff to deal with. For some of them, as they moved along in their years, the weight pulled them down and they never got back up. Some of these folks got help. Some didn't. And obviously one decided to end her life in this world. Some of these folks got help to unload much of their emotional weight. One of the main reasons that Kathy Long and Dave Clark exist and do their work is to help people that are carrying a significant amount of emotional weight. Some of us are not moving forward in our journey with the Lord Jesus because we are carrying way too much weight. We're going through the motions of looking like someone who is following Christ, but are carrying anger, maybe even at someone here at Oakwood. Some of us are carrying a load of fear and worry about any number of things. Some of us have lost hope for any number of reasons: broken relationships, loss of career, loss of loved one. Martha and I know that. We know that up close and personally. I really pondered that a key way for we lose weight is by keeping our eyes on Jesus, who created you and knows you so much better than you know yourself. He is the one who is doing a work in you if you have given him the opportunity, and he is also the one who knows the number of your days. Jesus endured the cross for you and me. He was despised and shamed for you and me, and now is seated with his Father. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you." You know why? Because we have a good, good Father. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide. I hope this sounds familiar. You just confessed it here a few minutes ago. But I know we're all searching for answers only you can provide. Do you believe that Jesus can help you with your weight issue? Do you really? God helped David with his issue, King David in 2 Samuel. He had a big weight issue. And God used his friend Nathan to come and tell him, "You got a weight issue." There was a serious weight issue. You can read how David shed the weight by confessing his sin and praying and fasting for the child that he and Bathsheba conceived. And do you remember how it went? You can read about how that child died even after asking God and pleading with God and fasting. And you can also read how his servants were so concerned that David would absolutely crumble and go off the deep end. And they didn't want to tell him because they thought that would just be adding more weight. But David did not allow the emotional toll to bog him down. I would encourage you to read that passage in 2 Samuel and meditate on the application if you find yourself under the pile. Jesus helped a woman at the well with her stuff, and she had a load. She had multiple marriages, living with a guy. She had all kinds of stuff. This event is recorded in John 4. Jesus also helped Martha with her stuff. Martha in the Bible, and Martha who I love dearly. The Martha in the Bible is recorded in Luke 10, 38 to 42. If you want to know about the Martha here, just talk to me. Okay. There are more examples in Scripture, and even sitting near you are people who have experienced and been helped to get lighter. 2 weeks ago, you remember, Larry gave us the summary, and one of the things that he said that I really appreciated is that the large number of people who came and met with him and Elaine talked about how when they came to Oakwood, they had broken marriages, broken lives. They were just completely, you know, they were hurting. And because of being a part of this church family, connecting in relationship with others, people who would pray for them and pray with them, they've seen their lives get back on track and moving in a positive direction. Here's what Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says from the Message. I love, there are some things that Eugene Peterson says that I think are awesome, and I love how he paraphrases this. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, Moses, Abraham, Sarah, Steve, Dwayne, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Spiritual Red Bull. How awesome is that? Remember who came before us. Remember that 20 or 30 years from now, the people who sit here or wherever the configuration of Oakwood Church is meeting, they're going to look back to us, and they're going to look at some of the pictures that I looked at in the file, and they're going to say, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for continuing the journey. Thank you for working hard. Yes, we're going to have casualties. I'm not blind to realize that some of you are hurting today, and some of you are barely hanging on by a thread, and I'm encouraging you to hang in there. God is faithful. Lose the weight that slows you down. Keep focused on Jesus and the great love he showed at the cross. On your connection card, there's some next steps that I'd like to point out. I'm going to challenge you. Add it to your file. Memorize Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I'm working on it too, folks, because all my memory from my early days was in King James, and I'm having to reprogram everything. And it's fun, because now I told Larry, you know, there's some of you who speak Spanglish, okay? I'm speaking King James Living ESV kind of thing. It's just kind of all conglomerated, but I'm getting the essence of it and really trying to meditate on those things. Memorize Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 this week. I will say thanks to someone who has helped me along the way in my journey toward Christ. Or I will ask God and maybe someone else to help me with any emotional weight I'm carrying. Let me just say this. One of the ways we can accomplish that last step is through prayer for each other. And I believe we underestimate that. I believe we strongly underestimate the opportunity we have to pray for each other. It came to my attention this week that some of you are not aware that we have a prayer chain. Let me explain what a prayer chain is. A prayer chain is a group of people who have given us their email address. And if someone needs a prayer for something. Physical issues, spiritual issues. You know, God's going to deal with our bodies in the way that he does. It's the heart that God is wanting. And so when I see a prayer request on your connection card or that comes through the prayer chain, that is, I'm praying for this person because they need to know Jesus in a great way. They don't know it. They're searching for answers far and wide, and they're looking everywhere else. I pray for that. I very much appreciate and I'm honored. In your worship program on the goldenrod sheet, there's 67,000 announcements, okay? On the back page of that, there's instructions. If you want to be a part of the prayer chain, if you want to give us your email address, there's an email address in there for you to send an email to so that we can include you. If you also have a prayer request, that email address is to be used for that. You can submit a prayer request. Galatians 6 talks about bearing one another's burdens. And I think the reason that we get weighed down with spiritual weight, emotional weight, is because we're not allowing others to help carry that load. You can also participate with a prayer team. Another one of the War and Peace inserts in your worship program today is related to the prayer guide for the summer. I would encourage you, pray for those folks. Pray for those things that we have coming up here. I'd like to spend some time praying quietly before we celebrate communion. I'd like to spend a minute or two in prayer, just quiet, and you deal with your weight issue. One thing I know about you is the same thing you know about me. We all got stuff. We all got family stuff. We all got challenges related to either earthly family, you know, our blood kin, or our spiritual kin. I'd encourage you to spend a few moments just praying and asking God to help you with your weight issue today, and me too. So let's pray. Thank you comes to mind that you are so gracious and patient. And even as Martha and I in our devotion this morning, we're, you know, just talking about that whole thing of forgiveness. It boggles my mind. I used to think I had a handle on it when I was in my 20s, and now that I reach this stage of my life, it just stuns me that you are so gracious and patient with us because we are so messy. We carry around stuff that we don't need to carry around thinking that we can handle it, and it just gets the best of us. Okay, I'll confess it. I'm going to own this for today. It gets the best of me sometimes. I'm not going to say anything for anybody else in the room, just me. They can deal with their own stuff with you. But I'm grateful that you are patient with me and that you are ready to help lift a load, and that I have friends who are gracious and kind and help me carry the things that can potentially bog me down and become that weight that doth so easily beset. God, I pray that you would help us this week, that we would deal with our weight issue, that we would remember those things that went before us, those people that went before us to give us this privilege and opportunity to be a part of this family. And they never imagined where it would take them. But God, I appreciate that through their prayer and sacrifice, we are able to enjoy and appreciate the experiences of being a church family here. God, help us to shed our weight.